So I am going to kind of piggyback on the last two presentations, but kind of take another spin and angle on how you can use NHSN data to identify potential clusters. So we're looking at CLABSI and CAUTI data here, acute care hospitals, long-term acute care hospitals, or LTACs, and inpatient rehab facilities in Tennessee are required to report CLABSI and CAUTI to the National Healthcare Safety Network, or NHSN. And we do a lot with our NHSN data in Tennessee. And when I really started to think about that, I realized it's a lot of stuff. We focus on data quality. We feedback facilities data on a monthly basis to ensure that their reporting is timely and accurate. We even do external data validation. We use data for public reporting in our state HAI reports with facility and statewide data. We feedback facility-level data on a quarterly basis and allow facilities to see how they stack up to other Tennessee hospitals. We monitor statewide trends and share that with our advisory group to identify the direction of our HAI program and what we want to focus on. And we also use the data for quality improvement activities, identifying facilities for prevention collaboratives, ICAR visits, the TAP strategy, and all of that. But one area that we haven't used NHSN data for much, especially in hospitals, was identifying potential clusters or outbreaks and following up with those. And as I think we're hearing every jurisdiction say, hospitals aren't great at reporting outbreaks, especially those that are kind of the pathogens they're used to seeing or the infections they regularly see. Unfortunately, we had a CSTE fellow a few years ago who did some legwork on this with outpatient dialysis settings using NHSN data. So we decided to kind of piggyback on what he had started and look at this for CLABSI and CAUTI data in our acute care. So to do this, we analyzed NHSN data in SAS to identify potential clusters of infections and organisms at the unit level, the location type, so we would group up ICUs and wards at a facility, the facility level, and then also at the regional and statewide level. And there we would aggregate the data by location type and facility type within the regions. So when you look, we have about 120 facilities that would be included in this with our acute care LTACs and rehabs. And when you looked at their individual units and then all these separate groupings that we were looking at, we were actually analyzing about 2,000 different groupings for potential clusters of infections. And we did this, we download data from NHSN twice a month, and so we run these cluster reports each time we download new data from NHSN. So here's where this presentation is not quite as robust or statistical as the last two we heard. So I'm excited to grow in that area. But our general process for identifying clusters was to compare the infection rate each month to the previous 12-month average. And I have our current thresholds here that we're using. And again, they're really crude. This was more to identify what is our process for visualizing and following up on these potential clusters and communicating with the facilities. So our current thresholds are if more than two infections were identified in a given month, we flag months that have four times the average rate. And more than one infection, we would flag months with eight times the average rate. And so here's a table that demonstrates an example of a flagged month. And this particular unit in March 2017 had a CLABSI rate of 8.9 compared to the previous 12 months of 0.74. And this was only two CLABSI. So in all likelihood, once we investigate this, it's probably not meaningful, but this is what just triggered an additional look from our staff. We also looked for clusters of organisms, and we did this by looking at organisms at the species level and compared that count each month to the previous 12 months for whatever location grouping we were looking at. And again, these are very crude, but were just a really good starting place for us to kind of see what our data looked like and figure out what that process would be. So our current thresholds are that if an organism was identified at least once in the previous 12 months, we would flag four or more isolates in a given month. And if it had not been identified, flag two or more isolates of that organism. And we also thought this was a really excellent place for us to identify single organisms of public health interest. And that's something that we all know is always evolving and changing. And this gave us a really good place that we can easily tweak, you know, oh, here's the pathogen code we're looking for right now, and pull off those organisms that we're no longer interested in once an outbreak has resolved. So I have some examples of those up here. And then I just wanted to point out that these thresholds for organisms were adjusted for cluster detection at the higher levels, like the region or the state, because that would just pull up too many examples. So here's an example of what a potential organism cluster might look like. The flagged month is highlighted in red here at the bottom, and they had three CLABSIs that month, and all three staph epi was isolated. So this would trigger just that look back for our staff to determine if any action might be appropriate in this example. So we generated these reports as PDFs through SAS, and they included contact information for the IP, data for the month of the potential flagged cluster, and then monthly rate and organism data, like that last slide I just showed, so you could compare back to the previous months. And finally, a rate figure that displayed the trend over time compared to appropriate facility and state-level data for comparison. So this is kind of, we're zoomed out on the reports with the different sections, and I'm going to go in a little bit more. So this is what the top section would look like with the data for that flagged month and then the comparison rate. And then the table that would show not only the number of events and rate by month for the month that was flagged in the previous 12 months, but also the pathogens. And we found this a nice way to visualize looking at the distribution of pathogens by month. And finally, you know, we're epis, we need to see the data. So this is my favorite part, is looking at the trend over time. And so the black line here shows the CLABSI rate for the individual unit that was flagged, and you can tell December 2016 clearly pops up here when you're looking at that trend. But what we have also really liked to see and our facilities appreciate are the two comparison lines. The blue dashed line shows the facility-wide CLABSI rate, and the orange dashed line shows the statewide CLABSI rate for all units of the same type, and in this case, medical ICUs. So that's really handy because we know that these different units within NHSN patient populations have different risk factors, so it's nice to have those baseline comparisons available. So each time we ran this report twice a month, new reports would be imported into an Access database that we already use to manage facility information, including contact information and other information about units and that type of thing. And then HAI team members are able to use the Access database to review the new reports that were identified and then review them and determine if follow-up with the facility is necessary, or maybe we'll watch for the next couple months to see if anything continues. So this is what the form in our Access database looks like. The top portion of this form was populated by SAS, which is really nice. And when you go into here, there's a hyperlink to the report that's on our shared drive. And just that kind of navigation was really handy for our team to be able to get the basic information and then navigate to the full PDF report that I shared. And then the second part is how our staff documented any follow-up or actions that were determined. We kind of have this status drop-down menu where we were able to say, okay, you know, maybe there were two or three CLABSIs that month, but we want to see if that is continued or if it was just a one-month thing. And then we're able to use the notes section to document any actions that are taken. And there's also two little buttons here, one that links to the facility's contact information, which is really helpful to have that right at the tip of your fingers. And then a second button at the bottom to see a complete list of all the flags. So you would only see new flags or flags that needed attention immediately when you go into the Access database, so it kind of is sorting through them for you, which usually kept that down to maybe 20 at a time, which is nice, a little less overwhelming. So this is what that contact information looked like, and that was a pre-existing section in our Access database that we were able just to link right into this part. And then this is what the full list of clusters would look like, and it kind of summarizes the action we've taken. And we're, you know, it was really helpful for my analysis that I'm about to share so that we knew, you know, how we had responded to the different potential flagged clusters. So this summarizes the potential clusters that have been identified. This includes NHSN data going back to January 2016 through March 2017. We started running these reports in the fall of 2016, and we didn't want to go back much further in time because it's just not super relevant, but we wanted to see enough time to see what type of clusters might be detected. So this summarizes the potential clusters identified for CLABSI and CODI infection clusters and organism clusters by the different aggregations of data we looked at. And then to give some more information about how we followed up on the facility level clusters, We identified a total of 64, and 41 of those we reviewed the reports and we determined that it didn't require any direct follow-up with the facility. However, many of those we flagged and looked at the following month or two to ensure if we saw kind of a blip of a couple Klebsies or Clotties that, went back down, or if it didn't, that's when we would initiate contact with the facility. We're currently monitoring 8 reports for that sustained increase situation. 15 of the reports were shared with our hospital IPs, and we provided additional consultation or resources in 5 of those instances. And I will say, for the most part, IPs were already aware of the increase, but not necessarily that we were so willing to provide resources. And they didn't necessarily consider it to be a cluster, but I do think, they get easily overwhelmed, and most of the time they were appreciative of like, well, we've tried X, Y, and Z. What else can we try? What new thing do you have to offer us? So I wanted to share one example of a CAUTI potential cluster that we identified. And it's this rate figure that I think demonstrates this best. So as I mentioned, we started running these reports in October of 2016, so here, and this is the first time we ran it and looked at this. And when we saw this trend, this is in a trauma ICU, and these are CAUTIs, we thought, oh, gee. Like, we wish that we could have been looking at this back in January when they were on month 2 of this increase. And we actually had a really productive call with the IP at this facility who had already been consulting with her healthcare system and other resources to really work on this issue. But, she was at a point where she had exhausted all the ideas that she had and was excited to engage with us and open and talking about what else could she have done. So we're hoping that we'll have a case like this that we can catch much earlier and start that communication with the facility. So we feel like we have had several successes with these reports. We think the visualization of the data and the information that are generated in these reports are enough information to determine if any other action is necessary. And the reports have been really well received by the facilities. We know that a lot of facilities are kind of intimidated by the analysis section in NHSN, and this is just another opportunity for us to feedback their data, help them visualize it, and identify opportunities to focus on. And then we've also been really happy with the way the Access database has functioned to help our team actually track and document how we respond to these cases. But we have several limitations, and I feel like, we need to get together with these 2 presentations that happened earlier and really kind of pull together this kind of puzzle that we have when we're identifying outbreaks and responding. So I would say we did a pretty good job of the visualization and reporting working with the facilities with these outbreaks, or potential clusters, excuse me, but the puzzle piece we are ready to work on next is detection. And we're excited to implement some more statistical methods to really improve that piece of the larger puzzle. And then another piece I wanted to add in here, it wasn't our intent to focus on this right now, but I think another area that we will need to work on is that appropriate response. So our next steps include refining the cluster detection methodology, and we've seen SatScan used really well today. We also think that WHONET or Essence might be other applications that could help us identify these clusters. We also are working on potentially setting organism-specific thresholds. 2 cases of one organism might not be significant, but another. And I think the 2 examples that we saw in the earlier presentations with DRE and C. diff are good examples of that. We'd also like to look at organisms with specific phenotypic susceptibility patterns. We just looked at the organism genus and species. We didn't look to see, is there a cluster of CRE? But we do have the susceptibility data from NHSN. And I think some of these other software systems that we could use to detect these clusters would help us with that piece as well. And then we'd also like to look at clusters by healthcare system or affiliation. Tennessee hospitals are part of several large healthcare systems, and I think we might see trends at that level as well and be able to engage with those partners. And we are very excited, and I'll put a plug in for the other activities today related to CORA, but we're excited to incorporate any recommendations that come out of the CORA group and what constitutes a cluster and to help implement those in here. And then as we're doing today, we're looking forward to gathering input and experience from other states that are embarking in this area. Thank you.
So I noticed that knowingly or unknowingly, you are using Poisson formula with three standard deviations. Because if you average is 1, square root of 1 is 1, 3 times 1 plus 1, you got 4. So you're basically saying that we will flag everything that is 3 sigma deviations above. And that's how you got 4 if you have average 1. So that's what you're doing, which is mathematically correct. But what happens when you have a cluster? Do you reset all your numbers, or do you just stick to the same definition every year over and over?
And we've just, you know, been implementing this in the last few months. We haven't reset the definition, but that's kind of our next step, is to, you know, tweak those thresholds and make sure that they're appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, your historical data will change year to
right.
year, so you have to reset your baseline and you have to reset your thresholds. So that's what's going to happen. So.
Yeah.
But the problem is that then you have to weed out the outbreak cases versus non-outbreak cases and basically do this manually almost. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Thank you.
Ashley, that was beautiful work. Do you have the capacity to inspire your hospitals to enter into NHSN in a more timely way? Because it seems when you said it every 2 weeks, I'm like, oh, gosh, if we could have. I mean, so is through collaboration, through the feedback, has that encouraged them to report more frequently?
So we send out monthly data quality reports to all of our facilities that assess completeness and then some potential data quality issues. They don't like to get errors on those reports. And we expect that when we're running those reports, they're considered late if they're greater than 30 days after the end of the month, so that we're hoping that it's just about a month lag. And a lot of my IPs, those will go to their supervisors. I'm not trying to, like, hold a stick, but it just kind of is naturally happening. Like, they don't want to see those errors. So I think we get relatively good timely reporting, but we still always have consistent stragglers that don't get their data in until the CMS deadline. So that makes this harder. But I think timely data is really the key here.
You know, I think this sort of emphasizes even more that the traditional outbreak of an organism, it's hard enough to get hospitals to report on the organisms than on type of infection.
Yeah.
But the timeliness is a little less important. I mean, it's always important. But, you know, we had a hospital with a huge increase in CLABSIs, all different organisms, that we were eventually able to pick up and do something about because it was spread out over months. But I think it really helps hospitals learn that they need to report outbreaks by type of infection, not just organism. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, last question.
Thank you, Ashley. Fantastic work. So were you able to incorporate definition changes, what are plans that you have going forward for definition changes? For example, with CODI and removing Candida species out of really impact.
We started looking at the beginning of 2016, so we didn't have to worry about that major change, which is nice. But that's definitely something that we'd have to take into consideration, because we'll see, like we did with CODI, major changes when those definitions change. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.